The Coffee Hero. Coffee has not been without its detractors, but they have always been in the minority. Coffee was widely blamed for the death of the French minister Colbert, who died of stomach cancer. Goethe blamed his habitual café latte for his chronic melancholia and his attacks of anxiety. Terence McKenna, Food of the Gods. The hero culture is a coffee culture. From my earliest childhood, I remember I preferred tea over coffee. This is quite interesting because I was born literally in coffee, so to say, as my mother gave me birth at home, and that was in an extension of my parents' coffee shop. Everything around there was related to coffee. The smell of the roasting coffee, first of all, the sight of the huge roasting machine that turned almost all the time and that made an intriguing sound, almost like a song, the large sacks of raw coffee in the corners, the staples of old newspapers that served for wrapping the coffee sold to a client, parenthesis, at this time in post-war Germany, there was not yet any plastic wrapping paper. And the brownish dust that covered just everything, and that was an inevitable byproduct of the roasting process. Then later, when I was an adolescent, just after entering boarding school, my mother received a brochure from Paul Schrader, Tea and Coffee from Bremen, and first ordered some coffee there. Upon my initiative, then, she got to order tea as well, and that was really a discovery for both of us. Within the next months, I could convince my mother that tea was better than coffee, and until her death, more than 30 years later, she almost exclusively drank tea. And that is kind of astonishing, as she related to me that during the time she was pregnant, she drank around 5 liters of coffee per day. I said, I was born in coffee, right? For me, the shift was even more dramatic. I did not touch coffee anymore, while during my earlier childhood I had abused of it, parenthesis, as well as of all kinds of alcoholic beverage when I could get hold of it, and became a fervent tea drinker. Every Sunday afternoon my mother and me had our tea ritual, and when I took the train to the boarding school in the evening, I usually did not sleep the whole night, and this for 2 reasons, tea and sex. With my mother, we drank about 10 to 20 cups of tea per day, and so in the night I was alert like a mouse. And only after having had extensive sex with my favorite peer boy in the home, I could finally get to sleep in the early morning hours. And I began to like my life. While my earlier childhood was a dreadful experience as I was cruelly mistreated in a Catholic home, life in that boarding home was not bad, as they even had a piano. School was interesting and challenging, and my friend Philip was just the sweetest boy one can dream of. Still today, I tend to think if the world was populated by men like Philip, that would be a peaceful, gorgeous world. I just loved him with all my heart, soul, and body, and it was mutual. Our love was the best kept secret in the boarding school, to say that it was no secret at all, and everybody laughed about it, which sometimes was hard to bear for us. Well, let me get one level deeper in my philosophical considerations of coffee, tea, and sex. For me, today coffee is related to Christianity, left brain upbringing, angst, prejudice, violence, and Western culture. Sexually, it is related to what I call fake heterosexuality. Tea for me today is related to Buddhism and Taoism, a balanced mind when both brain hemispheres work in sync, latitude and wisdom, peacefulness and Eastern culture. Sexually, it is related to true heterosexuality, but also a complete openness toward any other nonviolent, enjoyable sexual preference. I was thinking on these lines since my childhood and youth. I could never share these insights as I had hardly any words for them at the time. I found my reasoning so unusual that I was afraid friends would either laugh in my face or reject me or both when I voiced these thoughts. Only after I found Terence McKenna's considerations about coffee, related to Christian and Western culture, in his book Food of the Gods, I woke up to my own insights and began to gradually put them on paper. And there was the poetic dimension. I was very impressed by a poem written by Paul Celan entitled Die Todesfuge that we read in German class at high school and that related coffee to concentration camps. Schwarze Milch der Frühe, wir trinken dich abends, began that poem. Our teacher said this poem was one of Celan's best because of the mastery association between the black color of coffee in concentration camps, the only kind of food there was for weeks and weeks, and the metaphorical black color of angst and death. And I must think of all those cowboy films I saw in my childhood and John Wayne drinking coffee, except when he was busy kissing a woman or shooting a man down or riding the horse. Yes, that was a coffee ritual, not just drinking coffee. Often he was sitting by a fire with that metal cup in his big hand, and it seemed like he was being friends with coffee, that coffee really had an importance in his life, just like women and guns. And when I joined university and got a job in the law library, I saw the huge importance coffee had at the workplace, especially in universities. It's more than a ritual, it's a religion. Christianity is a coffee religion. Both are black. Buddhism is a tea religion. Both are green. And then the taste. Coffee is bitter, obtrusive, narrow, anxiety-inducing, dull, and chasing your thought. It works pretty much like beer, putting you a headboard in front of your mind. Tea is subtle, with multiple fragrances, non-obtrusive, opening the latitude and wisdom of insight, taking away a headboard in front of your mind and clearing your thought. It is obvious that coffee, in the way it works on the mind, is related to mind-closing drugs like alcohol and a fear-ridden, obsessive, and highly regulated sexuality, while tea is related to mind-opening drugs such as plant entheogens and a fearless, consenting, and highly permissive, self-regulated sexuality. It's not for nothing that the smell of coffee reminds the smell of excrement, while the smell of tea reminds the smell of incense and marijuana. Coffee in postmodern culture is mirrored by Coke, (parenthesis, not only the name and the color are the same), while the subtle wisdom of tea has no parallel in postmodern culture. To conclude, it has no place in it. In my recent travel to South America, I was in midst of the coffee culture and, guess it, did not like it. I thus settled among the tea drinkers on the other half of the globe and leave it over to Freudian analysts to find out why Westerners like the smell of excrement and toilet paper, while in Asia you have a toilet shower or just a bucket with water, even in a very simple toilet. That's why coffee and Christianity is also related to dirty asses, while in Asia people smell good not only on the upper half of their body. And the latter is again a metaphor as the body talks. The way we treat the body, the way we treat the mind. It's logical that drinking a gall bitter black soup and run around toilet papered results in a mind that is dirty from top to toes. When you drink wisdom and shower your ass after toilet, you are ready for sex anytime, anywhere, anyhow. You are ready for heaven then, and your mind is clear like a morning in Darjeeling.